Today is April the 3rd. Today, we find out what is a judge. Today, as we read through the Bible in a year, please begin the reading of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 1 and 2. Now, what is a judge? Why are these men called judges? They certainly don't sit behind a bench with a gavel deciding who is obeying law and who's not. That is our normal understanding of what the word judge means. But here in this context, the judge is not one who decides how to apply God's law. Rather, it's one who executes the result of God's law, one who execute judgment on Israel's enemies. There are 12 judges mentioned in the book of Judges. They didn't judge or govern the entire 12 tribes of Israel. They actually led a local tribe, or maybe two or three tribes who happened to join together against a common enemy. There's overlap in the book of Judges. While one judge is serving here in the south, another judge may have been serving in the north, meeting a different threat against Israel. Judah and Simeon in chapter 1 defeat all of the people living in their land, and they divide up the land among themselves. But at the end of chapter 1, there's a repetition of the phrase, they failed to drive out the people. That is true in verse 19, verse 21, 27, 29, 30, 31, and 33, until we come to the tribe of Dan. In verse 34, not only did they fail to drive out anyone, everybody, they themselves were repelled and driven out of the land that they were to occupy. As a result, in chapter 2, an angel from the Lord comes and cries when he sees what's happened. Joshua dies in chapter 2, and then the author of Judges lays out a pattern that the rest of the book of Judges follows. In every judge, we see, first of all, that Israel sins, and so the Lord turns them over to a tribe or a nation that will oppress them. Israel cries out, and the Lord sends a judge to deliver them. As long as the judge is alive, everything is fine. But when the judge dies, the cycle repeats. Israel sins. The Lord turns them over. They cry out. The Lord sends a new judge. Israel sins. And the cycle is just repeated time and time and time again. Let's read together Judges 1 and 2.
After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Which tribe should go first to attack the Canaanites?" The Lord answered, "Judah, for I have given them victory over the land." The men of Judah said to their relatives from the tribe of Simeon, "Join with us to fight against the Canaanites living in the territory allotted to us. Then we will help you conquer your territory." So the men of Simeon went with Judah. When the men of Judah attacked, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites and Perizzites, and they killed 10,000 enemy warriors in the town of Bezek. While at Bezek, they encountered King Adoni-Bezek and fought against him, and the Canaanites and Perizzites were defeated. Adoni-Bezek escaped, but the Israelites soon captured him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Adoni-Bezek said, "I once had 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them." They took him to Jerusalem, and he died there. The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem and captured it, killing all its people and setting the city on fire. Then they went down to fight the Canaanites living in the hill country, the Negev, and the western foothills. Judah marched against the Canaanites in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Arba, defeating the forces of Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there they went to fight against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Shepher. Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksha in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Shepher." Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it. So Aksha became Othniel's wife. When Aksha married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "Let me have another gift. You have already given me land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. When the tribe of Judah left Jericho, the city of palms, the Kenites, who were descendants of Moses' father-in-law, traveled with them into the wilderness of Judah. They settled among the people there, near the town of Arad in the Negev. Then Judah joined with Simeon to fight against the Canaanites living in Zephthah, and they completely destroyed the town. So the town was named Hormah. In addition, Judah captured the towns of Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, along with their surrounding territories. The Lord was with the people of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country. But they failed to drive out the people living in the plains, who had iron chariots. The town of Hebron was given to Caleb as Moses had promised, and Caleb drove out the people living there, who were descendants of the three sons of Anak. The tribe of Benjamin, however, failed to drive out the Jebusites, who were living in Jerusalem. So, to this day, the Jebusites live in Jerusalem among the people of Benjamin. The descendants of Joseph attacked the town of Bethel, and the Lord was with them. They sent men to scout out Bethel, formerly known as Luz. They confronted a man coming out of the town and said to him, "Show us a way into the town, and we will have mercy on you." So he showed them a way in, and they killed everyone in the town except that man and his family. Later, the man moved to the land of the Hittites, where he built a town. He named it Luz, which is its name to this day. The tribe of Manasseh failed to drive out the people living in Bethshan, Taanach, Dor, Ibleam, Megiddo, and all their surrounding settlements, because the Canaanites were determined to stay in that region. When the Israelites grew stronger, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they never did drive them completely out of the land. The tribe of Ephraim failed to drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer, so the Canaanites continued to live there among them. The tribe of Zebulun failed to drive out the residents of Kitron and Nahalol, so the Canaanites continued to live among them. But the Canaanites were forced to work as slaves for the people of Zebulun. The tribe of Asher failed to drive out the residents of Aco, Sidon, Alab, Aksib, Helba, Aphek, and Rehob. Instead, the people of Asher moved in among the Canaanites, who controlled the land, for they failed to drive them out. Likewise, the tribe of Naphtali failed to drive out the residents of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath. Instead, they moved in among the Canaanites, who controlled the land. Nevertheless, the people of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anak were forced to work as slaves for the people of Naphtali. As for the tribe of Dan, the Amorites forced them back into the hill country and would not let them come down into the plains. The Amorites were determined to stay in Mount Heres, Ajalon, and Shealbim. But when the descendants of Joseph became stronger, they forced the Amorites to work as slaves. The boundaries of the Amorites ran from Scorpion Pass to Shelah and continued upward from there. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, "I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors, and I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you." When the angel of the Lord finished speaking to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they called the place Bochim, which means weeping, and they offered sacrifices there to the Lord. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them, and the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived them, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land he had been allocated, at Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtoreth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel. So he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned, and the people were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but they prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors, who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge over Israel, he was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime. For the Lord took pity on his people, who were burdened by oppression and suffering. But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They went after other gods, serving and worshiping them, and they refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. So the Lord burned with anger against Israel. He said, "Because these people have violated my covenant, which I made with their ancestors, and have ignored my commands, I will no longer drive out the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. I did this to test Israel, to see whether or not they would follow the ways of the Lord as their ancestors did. That is why the Lord left those nations in place. He did not quickly drive them out or allow Joshua to conquer them all."
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. Like, follow, and subscribe to this devotional on whatever platform you use to listen to it. Email your questions to us at questions@becomehope.com. Tomorrow, we'll hear the tale of the left-handed judge.